Can you tell me a little bit about your situation at Assiniboine College whenever you were asked to write this document?
Well, that's the key thing, too. I was asked. I wouldn't have written it otherwise. And basically, it was one of these things. I'm working away. And, I was working on the learning management system that I was building. I just released the documentation on that. That was part of what I did in my productive sick periods. I found the documentation for that and released it on my blog as a blog post, which I thought was kind of neat. And eventually they came to me and they said, we know you have a plan. We have no idea what it is. And, we would support you that much more if we had any clue what you were working toward. And they said that to me like the day before my vacation. So, and I don't know if they really knew me well or they didn't know me at all. I'd been working there for a couple of years by then. But basically, I went away and I spent the 2 weeks of my vacation writing that paper. And it almost comes out to a section a day. It doesn't quite, but it actually took me that long to write, and that's about the longest I've ever spent writing a paper. The only other paper I've spent that long writing was The Future of Online Learning 10 Years On.
which is really a novella at this point.
Yeah, that one took me about 2 months. That was ridiculous. actually, I have spent a long time writing some other papers, but 2 weeks to write a paper was... back in 98, it was a huge record for me. I never spent that long writing a paper. But it was one of these things where, I was sort of put on the spot and challenged and told, what is the plan? What is it that you're working toward? And I had the idea right off the bat that, I could step through this by going from the technology, but then moving from technology to layer into it more and more the human factors. And I said at the time that I basically had two starting points. First of all, where the technology was going to go, which was actually pretty straightforward and simple. I mean, you take Moore's Law, and you apply it to a lot of this stuff, and you get the technical projections. But also the other side of it was the human element, what people would do with this stuff. And I'm coming from a background where, I used multi-million dollar global communications networks in 1980. Nobody had those.
Right.
But I did. I had access to one at Texas Instruments, and I used it to play chess.
Of course you did.
Of course I did. The first thing I did when I was finally able to make a website, the very first thing I did was put up a page for my cat. So, and it's, it's the whole idea of using technology for purposes other than which it was designed. And this plays a really key role in pretty much anything. Almost any technology that we've ever come up with, somebody has found a way almost as soon as it's been invented to do something else with it. So I'm looking at this technology and I'm asking, from the perspective of learning, especially, how are people going to want to use this? What are they going to want to use it for? I know what people are going to tell them they need to do, right? But really, what are they going to want to do? And that's the direction that I was led. You can sort of almost see the progression in the paper, starting with the technology, working through what people are going to tell them they should be doing, all the way through to, but here's what really they're going to do in the end. And then at the very end of the paper, here's the problems that are going to happen. Here's where the worlds are going to collide. Like the pad part is only, it's early to middle of the paper.
Yeah.
The more interesting predictions are nearer the end.
There's no doubt about that. The great thing about the pad thing, though, and it really is the whole document, try to deal with the document in any conversation would take us hours.
Oh, yeah.
And I picked out the pad one because it's a discrete conversation. Yeah. It's one that we can talk about really simply without having to introduce people to, you know, vast points. Talking about the way that knowledge is changing and access and stuff is something that ends up being really difficult to talk about. But in terms of looking at trends, looking at the way that people use things and then projecting them to the future. So the third section of the document says new technology in education. And the first one of those sort of trend analysis and prediction things that you did was the pad. Yeah. Now tell us in 1998 what the pad was, Stephen.
The pad, okay. Where that was coming from, have you ever seen those clocks, and the clock is basically a clear slab of plastic and all you see is the number?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Yep. That's where it was coming from. Okay. So I'm looking at these clocks and I'm thinking, these things are amazing, because all they are is a clear slab of plastic and these numbers that change. And I'm thinking, if I could have one of those, except a bit bigger and with smaller text, this would be fabulous. Something I could read from, something I can write from. You know, my entire schooling, I've worked with 8.5 by 11 pads.
Right.
Right. And, you know, when I was doing journalism with the Gauntlet, I took notes on slightly smaller pads. I've always used pads, you know. And earlier in the paper, it says something like, what do we have? We have the pen, the pad, the chalkboard, right? So I have the pen, something to write with, the pad, and then the other invention is the WAD, the wall area display, which is also coming. We haven't quite seen it yet, but we're going to get, like, you know, real nice just wall hangings and well
we're close enough to it now that if there was a financial reason for doing it, we'd have it. The technology's there.
Yeah, exactly. They'd just be a little expensive. But even I was in the Black's camera shop, and the photos that you hang up, the digital photo frames, are now up to about 8.5 by 11, and that was selling for about $200. Still a little thicker than I like. It sticks out a little bit, about 3/4 of an inch, but moving in the right direction. So they'll get bigger and slimmer as time goes by. But the idea is, if you had, you know, the slab of plastic is, oh, I don't know, maybe 1/4 inch, not quite 1/2 inch thick. So you got to figure, it's very light, right? Easy to carry around.
Yeah.
So if you have something like that's very portable, and you can read from it, you can write on it, create on it, it would do everything you needed. Well, that's what you would want.
Yeah.
So, okay, now looking at the trends and looking at that idea, how do you bring those together, right? So it's not going to have all kinds of wires. It must be wireless. And that's going to be a key thing. And I forget what else I said about it, but the key thing there was the wireless. It has to have wireless access. That way you can just carry it around wherever. But that's all there is to the pad.
And I think, you know, I'm looking through it, and I sort of took a look at this before I called Stephen tonight. And one of the nice things about the pad is that there are a couple of things that you got wrong the same way they got it wrong in the 1980s and in the 1990s about the folding part, which really doesn't work from a technological perspective. The truth is, though, it really doesn't matter.
No.
Because you look at, I just tweeted two links, two quotes, one after the other. One of them is, small 3x5 folding pads will easily fit into the jacket pocket when we take it on business trips and vacations. Yeah. And the other one is, education will truly be personal and will become truly portable. The only thing from there that didn't happen is the folding part, but the results of it.
Yeah, but that's because people stopped wearing jackets.
But I mean, that's how I carry my iPhone. In the Redux in 2008, you say the iPod Touch, and I couldn't agree more. It is a computer.
Oh yeah.
My iPhone is a computer, and I carry it around, and I use it like a computer all the time. I take notes on it. I use it as a telephone. I use it to connect people and to read stuff and whatever. It's a computer, and it's smaller than 3x5.
Yeah, it's weird that they ended up smaller like that. And I think the portability has a big thing to do with it. These aren't being used so much by students as by people who are, more professional. They're more on the move. They have big computers at their desk at work or at their home anyways. They're not spending long periods of time away from their work location, like their office or their home. So they can get away with a smaller device. I still think... See, I'm under no obligation to give up on my prediction. I still think that for learning, the 8.5 by 11 size is going to be the killer size. I really do. I don't think Apple got it quite right. I think they got it wrong in a lot of ways. But I think 8.5 by 11, around about that size, is still going to be the size for a variety of reasons. And it might still be folding.